Take out your Bibles. Yes, sir. Share it, brother.
Quit looking for the ways I did things. Quit looking for the things that I used to do. For all of you used to be a new thing, and look at you now, you're moving along. Grab a hold of me, for I'm a God of acceleration. Do not be left behind. I'm moving ahead to do a new thing. Let us all be together in my new thing, says the Lord.
Thank you. Yes.
Gentlemen, I want to receive the offering as we leave today. That's okay with you guys. Thank you for being in place. We'll take up the offering as we depart. I got a word right now I want to get into. Because, you know, if we're going to worship him, give him all this time, part of the important part of why we come together is to have the word. So turn with me this morning in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Honestly, I could leave here today and say, man, what a service we've had. I can leave here refreshed, encouraged, strengthened, with new hope and a new vision, praise God. Because something has broken through. Can you imagine what Daniel felt like when he was praying that prayer and 21 days had come and gone and no answer, but suddenly that answer came. Woo, that's kind of how I feel this morning. We've been praying, and I just believe we got an answer this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, when you get an answer from God, when things happen around you that try to destroy you, they don't bother you so much. Right? Because you know something. You know God is a great God, and he is in control. And he has called the end of this thing already. He knows what it's going to end like. And we're not going to end defeated, discouraged, and downcast. We're going to end victorious in power and in glory, praise the Lord. Woo. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to do what? But to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Hallelujah. What a promise. Glory to God. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs when the Father has fixed by his own authority. But, everybody say but. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my what? Witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now flip over to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues as of fire distributing to themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say all filled. All filled. God wants to fill all people. God wants to fill every person in this house this morning with the fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, Lord, we thank you for what you've already done here this morning. But I believe you've got to speak a word to us so our hearts are ready to receive. Because it's not about emotion. It's not about anything we can work up. But it's about the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. And that's what we desire this morning. And we ask you, fill us fresh and new with the wind, with the fire, with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let our cup overflow this morning as we leave this place in Jesus' name. Now, Pentecost Sunday is typically the day that the church remembers the coming of the Holy Spirit in power. It is actually the day of the birth of the church, praise God. Because before Acts chapter 2, the disciples were doing something. They were what? They were waiting. They were waiting. I don't know about you. I don't like to wait. It's not in me to wait. Jesus had risen from the dead. He had appeared to them. He had promised them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But first, before all that could happen, they had to wait. And that's not always easy, because we like movement. We like progress. We like to get answers, right? We like to know what comes next. But Jesus told them to wait for the gift, for the promise from the Father. Then Acts chapter 2 begins. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, I think your translation might say fully come, they were all together in one place. And then suddenly everything changed. I believe we're going to look back and say on May 24th, 2026, we had a suddenly in the Spirit, and everything has changed for Living Faith Church. Everything has changed for my life, for my family, praise God. There was a sound of a rushing, mighty wind. There were tongues of fire. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit begin to give them utterance. See, Pentecost is not a strange event in church history. Pentecost is the announcement that the risen Jesus is still at work, and he has poured his Spirit out upon all people, praise God. Because the Spirit comes to a waiting church. Come on now. We've got to want him. You know, we got to slow down our busy lives. I don't know about you, but my life is very busy right now. I thought summer was going to be easy and slow. I was going to plan a vacation, going to get away. But things have changed on me a little bit here. And I'm busier now with more to do now than I ever thought I would be. But God is calling us to wait. Sometimes you got to say, hold on just a minute. I got to wait until I hear from heaven. Come on. See, the disciples weren't out to make a name for themselves. They weren't trying to build their brand. They weren't trying to manufacture revival. They were waiting in obedience. Jesus told them to wait, and so what did they do? They waited. Oh, if we would be so obedient to his commands, right? That matters, because the Holy Spirit, he is not something that we can control. He is not a technique. He is not a religious mood that we can create. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the gift from God. And Acts says that the sound came suddenly from heaven. That phrase reminds us this morning that the source of Pentecost is not from earth. It's not from a denomination. It's not from a preacher. The sound of Pentecost comes from heaven itself, praise God. Whew. Because the church did not create Pentecost. God sent Pentecost to us, praise the Lord. The wind blew because God made it blow. See, in Scripture, wind often represents the breath and the life of God. In Genesis, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, over the face of the deep, Scripture says. In Ezekiel, the breath of God comes into a place, a cave with dry bones, and breathes life into those bones, and they live. In John 3, Jesus said the Spirit is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going, but we do see its effects, praise God. At Pentecost, God breathes life into his church. The same disciples who had been afraid are now suddenly filled with courage. God, fill us with courage this morning. The same Peter who denied Jesus now stands in the face of opposition and he preaches Jesus. Hallelujah. The same small group that once hid behind locked doors now becomes a witnessing community that touches the world for Jesus Christ. The church didn't begin with human strength, but it began with divine power. And I want to challenge you, we need divine power today. We don't live by, the church doesn't live and exist by talent alone. Can't exist by organization alone, by tradition alone, or even effort alone. We need all of those things, but that's not enough. We need the Holy Spirit to do what God has called us to do. We need the Spirit to awaken our worship. We need the Spirit to empower our witness. We need the Spirit to soften our hearts. Oh, come on, somebody. We need the Spirit to give us courage, and we need the Spirit to make Christ real and precious to us. See, a church may have buildings, programs, music committees, calendars, but without the Spirit, it has no life. But Pentecost tells us this morning that God breathes life into His church. And when that life comes, when the Spirit came, it also comes with fire. Just say that out your mouth. Say fire. I need fire. Acts says that divided tongues of fire appeared to them and it rested on each one of them. Fire in Scripture often represents the presence of God. It represents holiness and it represents purifying. It represents the purifying work of God. God appeared to Moses in what? A burning bush. God led Israel by what? A pillar of fire. Fire fell where? On Mount Sinai. Fire is often marked by the nearness and the presence of God. At Pentecost, the fire didn't come and rest on a building. It didn't rest on the church. It didn't rest on the upper room. What did He rest on? He rest on people. I need the fire in my life this morning. Woo, that's amazing to me. The presence of God is now filling His people. And I'm looking at some Holy Ghost-filled people here this morning. I said, I'm looking at some Holy Ghost-filled people here this morning. Woo. The Spirit fills believers, makes them a living witness of the risen Christ. It's all about Jesus. You hear me this morning? It's all about Jesus Christ. Notice also that the fire rested on each one of them. Not only on Peter, not only on the apostles, not only on those who were in leadership. The Spirit is poured out on the gathered people of God. God wants to pour His Spirit out on everybody. I want to tell you this morning, God wants to pour His Spirit out on every person sitting in this church this morning. God wants to pour His Spirit out on you and your family. He wants to pour His Spirit out on your children, on your sons and your daughters. He wants to pour His Spirit out on your loved ones. He wants to pour it out at work where you work at. He wants the Spirit of God to be poured out everywhere. And it starts with a hungry heart. Pentecost means that the ministry of God's Spirit is not just reserved for the spiritually elect. Every believer needs the Spirit. Every believer is called to be a witness. Every believer belongs to the Spirit-filled kingdom of God. That should both humble us and encourage us. It humbles us because we cannot serve God faithfully in our own strength. We need to be filled. We need to be guided. We need to be corrected sometimes. And Lord knows, we need to be empowered by His strength. that humbles us, realizing that we're not enough. I'm not enough. You're not enough. But it also encourages us because God delights to use ordinary people. It don't matter how many degrees are behind your name. It don't matter what letters are in front of your name. God will use you if you will humble yourself before Him. God uses those who are ordinary in His kingdom. Pentecost was not the story of impressive people doing impressive things. It was a story of God filling ordinary people with extraordinary power. I hear Peter walking up to the temple to pray. And there's a man laying there, blind, needy, whatever his need was, begging alms, the Bible says. And the Bible says he looked at them as if to receive something from them. Oh, come on, there's a sermon right there. The people are going to look at you as a child of God expecting something from you. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have to put in your alms bucket. But let me give you what I do have. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise, walk, take up your bed. And that man got up, healed by the power of God. Peter was just a fisherman. Probably a cussing, mean fisherman. We already know he's headstrong, right? We've learned that from Scripture. But Peter ain't the same Peter he was before Pentecost. Something's changed in Peter. I'm amazed, Jeff, how I can preach. People can preach messages like this about the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll give an altar call, and the people who are defeated and discouraged, they will sit on their rear end and not move a minute to get to where God is moving. God, help us. God, I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus from off this place, that when the word is preached, you will confirm the word with signs following, that you will touch hearts, you will touch lives, that those things that hold us down, oh, are going to come off of us. Woo. You ain't going to get this at the Baptist church. The Spirit can give courage to the fearful. The Spirit can give words to the hesitant. The Spirit can give holiness to the tempted. The Spirit can give hope to the weary. He can give unity to a divided people. So it's not so much, am I impressive enough for God to use me? Here's the real question we should ask ourselves. Am I available for God to use me? I could say amen, close the book, and go home on that one. But I want to continue. Because the Spirit sends the church to speak. The Spirit filled the disciples. They began to do something. They began to speak in other languages. People from many different various nations who had come for Pentecost heard the mighty works of God in their own language. That's a miracle. Pentecost is often treated as a miracle of speech because of that. But I want to tell you this morning, it's much more than that. It's a miracle of mission. God is calling the church to something here. God is showing that the gospel is not for one tribe, not for one nation, not for one language, or one class of people. The good news of Jesus Christ, my friends, is for the whole world. That's why we're hearing that over in war-torn Iran, that revival is breaking out. We're hearing in China house churches are strong. God is moving. Hallelujah. It's not just in America. We need Him to move strong in America once again. We need our churches to be breathed upon by the breath of the Spirit of God and light a fire in us, praise the Lord. In Babel, in Genesis chapter 11, you've read the story or heard it told. Human pride led to confusion and to scattering. But at Pentecost, by the Spirit, God begins gathering His people from every nation under the name of Jesus Christ. The Spirit does not fill the church so the church can admire itself. Oh, my God. We ought to build our buildings, our shrines. But the Spirit fills the church so the church can bear witness. The first sign of Pentecost is not private spiritual excitement. It's a public testimony. You listen. Now you start to listen in the Spirit, because we're going to start hearing. People are going to start hearing. They don't know how they're hearing it. Okay? Here's what's going to happen. Someone's going to say, I just felt something tell me as I was riding by this church to pull in. I've gone to the first, second, third, and fourth Baptist church. The original and the non-original. Wouldn't you hate to be the second Baptist church? I want to be in the first. But people are going to be sitting in congregations. Oh, I feel a spirit of prophecy coming on here. There are people in this community, some sitting at homes this morning, some sitting in churches, some in places they should not be. But there's a calling going out in the Spirit, and it started this morning. God is going to start speaking to people. Families are going to start coming. Men that want to serve God. Women that want to serve God. Families that are looking for more. And they're going to get up, and they're going to hear in their spirit, go here. And they don't know where here is or why it's here or anything about it. They're just going to follow the leading of the Spirit, and God's going to draw them here. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're coming. I said they're coming. Because we're creating an atmosphere for God to move. A place for God to feel. A place for God to heal the sick and raise those who are down and discouraged. So I prophesy now. Angels, bring them in. Bring in praise team members. Bring in Sunday school teachers. Bring in youth pastors, youth workers, youth leaders. Bring them in, Father. Whew. It's a public testimony, because the Bible says they speak the mighty works of God. That is still our calling today, to speak the mighty works of God. We are called to speak what God has done. We are called to speak of creation, of covenant, of the cross, of resurrection, of forgiveness and mercy and grace and judgment, but hope as well. We're called to speak Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is making the church a witnessing church. Glory to God. Glory to God. In this spirit, He comes to point us to Jesus Christ. When the crowd is confused on the day of Pentecost, after this great event has just happened, Peter stands up and he explains what's taking place. He doesn't preach himself. He doesn't tell you to come sign his Bible, which will be a little hard to do anyway, right? He doesn't preach the experience. He doesn't even preach the wind or the fire as an end in itself. What does he do? He preaches Scripture. and he preaches Jesus. Peter says, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. God will pour out his spirit. What you're witnessing is God said this in the book of Joel. He said, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young and old, men and women, servants, and all the people will be included in this outpouring. Lord, I want to be in this outpouring in this hour. Then Peter moves to Jesus. This is important. This is key. Because the Holy Spirit's ministry is always centered on Jesus. The Spirit does not distract from Jesus. The Spirit will always glorify him. Pentecost is not separate. We just celebrated Easter not too long ago. It's not separate from Easter. Pentecost is the result of Easter. The crucified and then risen Jesus has ascended back to the Father. And on the day of Pentecost, he fulfilled the promise he made. He poured out the Holy Ghost, praise God. And the Spirit is the gift from the risen King to you. And he helps us to discern. Because when the Spirit is truly at work, Jesus is honored. Sin is confronted. Grace is proclaimed. Scriptures is opened. The gospel is made clear. People are drawn to God through repentance. Faith, worship, and mission. The Spirit life is not about chasing religious excitement. I love the moving of the Holy Spirit. I love seeing people dance and rejoice, but it's not what it's all about. That's just a product of it. It's all about exalting the risen Christ. It's about being faithful to him. Because then the Bible says that this same Spirit, he opens the door of salvation. That's what it's all about, church. Peter quotes Joel. He says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. This is the great invitation of Pentecost. The Spirit has come. The gospel is preached. The nations are addressed. The risen Christ is proclaimed. And the promise is given that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just the strong, not just the religious, not just the respectable ones, not just the people who have it all together. Because I would be excluded. Because just when I think I've got it all figured out, life throws me a curve. And I don't know what I thought I knew. Come on now. Pentecost is a miracle of grace. God pours out his Spirit. And through the witness of his people, sinners are invited to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. This means there's hope for every person in this room this morning. That means there's hope for the guilty, hope for the ashamed, hope for the doubting. There's hope for those who are wounded. There's hope for the person who feels far from God this morning. There's hope for the one who's resisted the Lord for years. I hear the Spirit saying, call upon the name of the Lord. Don't call upon your goodness. It's not enough. Don't call upon your record, whether good or bad. It's not enough. Don't call upon your church attendance. That won't get it done. Don't call upon your own strength, because church, you're not strong enough. Call upon the one who is strong enough. His name is Jesus. I'm here to tell you about Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. He's the crucified Savior. He's the risen Lord. He's the giver of the Holy Ghost. He is the mighty one who is here to save, deliver, and heal. I'm preaching my heart out, and y'all say, preach. I don't know what else to do. Whew. I've got written up here my conclusion in big letters, but I'm not going to tell you that, just in case. Oh, I want to get to the point where we don't have to, we can't even dismiss our services anymore. We just say, leave when you can. Stay as long as you want. Lock the door. Make sure the door locks behind you. Cut off the lights if you're the last one. But Pentecost Sunday reminds us that the church is not merely an institution, not just a denomination. The church is a spirit-filled people gathered by the risen Christ and sent into the world to preach the good news of the gospel. And the wind still blows where God wills. The fire of God's presence still purifies and it still empowers. The word of God still goes forth. The Spirit still points people to Jesus. Woo, I heard it. Full of people bowing and accepting Jesus as their Savior. Going to come a service really soon. We're going to have 10 people in one service give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Write that down somewhere. Write that down somewhere, Ray. Somebody write that down. 10 people in one service are going to come to Jesus. Oh. Come on. So I encourage you, don't just simply remember Pentecost as something that happened a long time ago. Let's ask God to make us a Pentecost people. A people filled with the Spirit, centered on Christ, shaped by Scripture, bold in our witness, a people living a holy life. I've been saying this the last couple of services. The last service we had, was it last Sunday? I don't remember. I said, I believe that we're in a time, a season, a shifting in our church when the cold are going to get colder. But the hot are going to burn with passion for Jesus Christ like we never have before. Because we are people who are going to choose to live a holy life. I didn't say perfect, but I did say holy. Because God would not tell you to live a holy life. He would not tell you be holy because I'm holy if you could not achieve that. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your church again. Glorify Jesus in our presence. And let us call on the mighty works of God so that we can see them and share them with our community. Would you stand? Dylan, would you come? The wind of Pentecost is still blowing even today. God's Spirit is here. You've already felt Him this morning. You've already experienced Him in this place this morning. He's not distant. He's not silent. But He is moving right now. But you know, just like a sailboat, it's not enough for the wind to blow. Follow me. For a sailboat, it's not enough for the wind to blow. You have to raise your sails. Some of you have been sitting still. Some have been drifting. Some of us have been stuck or trying to run in our own strength. You've got the vessel, but you need the wind. Today is a moment. It's a time. It's the right season for you to lift up your sails, to open up your heart, to surrender self-control, and to say, Lord, fill me. Some may be filled for the first time. Some may have to say, Lord, fill me again. Move me. Change me. Send me. But do it here today. You don't have to create the wind. God has already done that for us. He is the wind. All you have to do is respond. So I want to ask you, if you're hungry for the wind of God to blow into the sail of your life and to fill you afresh and new, would you just come and stand across the front of this church?